Look, we'll see. Let me start with this, Slee. This is a tweet.
Well,
from,
listen. First of all, I should have said double just right out the gate.
Well,
to say double cheeseburger
sauce and it's spread. There's a lot of you tipped your hand a little bit. I'm not gonna really go at you right now, but I do want to read this tweet right here because it's apropos of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. This is from Adrian, who has attached a picture to it. He is literally in the drive-through line at In-N-Out right now, and he says, "I'm gonna try Travis's go-to order." And then he follows it up with, "No one should ever order what Sliwa gets." That's got to hurt a little bit. Like, if somebody said that about my order, I would take that deeply personally.
No, I'm okay.
Listen, you're okay with that?
Some cheese and some meat, that's all you need on that thing, all right? I don't know. You go a little crazy on there. A lot of people like the animal style. I'm not crazy on the animal style.
All animal style is cook the patty and the mustard a little bit, little mustard, little pickles, and then, you know, you put the chilies on there. It's just a little more pop.
Listen, In-N-Out, we all know, is the standard that everyone should follow, and a lot of these other places have not followed In-N-Out.
I feel like you don't go there as often as I do. Am I wrong about that?
I'll tell you what. Michael pretty much says that he goes there like once a week. Every time I do the In-N-Out read during the Lakers broadcast, Michael's like, "I think I'm going to go there tonight." I don't go that often.
I'm good for maybe once every 3 weeks, and I could go every day and love every second of it. But I'm a little concerned about your order. I'm not going to lie. One more tweet here before we get to how you break the bad news to LeBron James. This one says, "Trav and Allen, the People versus O.J. Simpson 2 #reboot." That's from Darb in the OC. Mm. Yes, I'm all here for that.
Oh, yeah.
However, we got to make it a little different. Basically, I want it all Travolta all the time as Robert Shapiro. That was the best part of that show. Let's do that again.
How good, by the way, how many seasons was that? Or how many episodes was that?
It was maybe 10 or 12.
I want to say 10.
Yeah.
Oh, how glued to that were you?
It was fantastic because it was a perfect mix of campy and good. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, Travolta's get-up as Bob Shapiro was so outrageous. It was hard not to laugh. That the dude from Friends, what's his name, Schwimmer, as Robert Kardashian was ludicrous, but it was still so good.
But it was incredibly – it takes you back to the actual time when it was happening, and, you know, just depending on what your age was or whatever the case is, you remember everything, and you also learn a lot throughout the process. I thought that was one of the best that they had.
So you and I are still kind of, you know, figuring this out. Mm-hmm. I have more O.J. Simpson connections than you can ever believe. I'll just leave you with this, and then we'll move on to the LeBron topic. My dad, I graduated from college the day he did it. Or let me rephrase, the day he allegedly did it. My dad was out here in Santa Barbara for my graduation from UCSB, and then my parents were living in Chicago at the time, so he caught the red eye from LAX back to Chicago that night on the plane with him, O.J. Simpson, fleeing the scene.
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. My grandmother lived around the corner. We'll get into O.J. some other day. Today's not the day for that. Let's talk a little bit about what Byron said there a minute ago. If you're Frank Vogel, how do you go to LeBron James and say, "Listen, you're the best player of the last, you know, 20 years. You are one of the greatest players of all time. I would like you to play less because I think you need to play less." And he's telling you, "I feel fine. I'm ready to go." How do you do that?
I don't know if you do. Trav, I mean, there's somebody that's played 18 years in the NBA. For the last 3-4 years, this has been the conversation. The conversation's been, oh, LeBron's got to – he's got to start tapering it back a little bit. He's got to play a little bit less minutes. This isn't the first conversation we've ever had about LeBron James and his minutes. It was happening last season as well, leading up to the, you know, obviously the Orlando bubble. This is going to continue to be the conversation. Doesn't LeBron just know his body better than anybody else? And if he feels like he's pushing too hard early on in the season, then he'll find a way to taper it off a little bit. I don't know if coach is going to tell LeBron James how his body feels.
No, I don't think you can tell him how his body feels because that is a LeBron decision. But it's one of those things. Look, what makes LeBron James is a whole bunch of things. It's the physical abilities that he was given. It's the physical abilities that he has honed over years and years. It's the way that he takes care of himself. It's his skill. It's his intellect. It's all of these things. But what also makes LeBron LeBron and what makes all great players is they always think they can do it. They always think they're fine. They always think I can give you a little more. They always believe I'm still the guy that I was the year before and the year before and the year before. They're the very last ones to realize that, you know what, a little bit of break from this, a little bit less might serve me well in the long term. Because what makes them them is that they always believe that they're the right answer to the question, because they usually are. So I do think you need somebody in that equation saying, look, I'm not saying you don't feel good. I'm not saying you're not even playing well. What I'm saying is it is my job to make sure that you are at your best come the end of the line. I'm not saying we're going to drop you down to 22 minutes a night. I'm saying that we're going to be really careful about pushing you beyond 35, 36.
So here's the problem. What's the alternative? Because
they're losing anyway.
They're losing anyway, but they're losing right now because Anthony Davis is not in the games. That's why they're losing, right?
True.
So you're not – Lakers don't have the luxury. This is a real conversation if, let's say, Lakers are up 20 points in the fourth quarter and there's 6 minutes left to go and you feel like LeBron should still be on the floor. And LeBron is saying, no, let me go. The problem is – they're in this, you know, and even before Anthony Davis got injured, Lakers weren't helping themselves by playing all these overtime games, not helping themselves because they weren't paying attention and they were bored against the competition, them kind of knowing we're just going to coast through the regular season and get into the postseason. So what do you do now? LeBron's not going to – he's not sitting tomorrow. He wasn't going to sit yesterday against the Utah Jazz. So if the idea and the concept is – well, LeBron should play less minutes. Have you seen the Lakers when LeBron's not on the floor?
No, I get it. But let's use last night as the example. I agree with what you're saying, that you to extend his normal, air quotes, normal time on the bench, if it's normal, let's say 3 minutes, let's extend it to four and a half. Mm-hmm. Okay? I get what you're saying. That's when they get in trouble, because without him, and especially without him,
they
and
got
without
no shot.
Schroeder,
right.
And without Anthony Davis, they're in trouble. That's not what I'm getting at. Like, for instance, last night, and he didn't play a ton of minutes last night. I think it was only 28. But that game was over halfway through the third quarter. It was over. They weren't coming back to win. And yet he was still out there, and he put on another 5 or 6 extra minutes that didn't need to be there. When you're down 28 points in the third quarter, you're going to lose, especially when you're playing a good team like Utah in their place where they're making shots. You can't throw one in the ocean. It's finding those opportunities to say, you know what, we're gonna steal back 4 or 5 extra minutes.
By the way, and if I haven't seen that minute total in a long time for LeBron James. Last game, I think he was 43 against Washington, right? And then he had that stretch in those overtime games. He was 40-plus every night. So I think they'll kind of catch some of these opportunities to play him a little bit less. But that is interesting from Byron. I mean, Byron literally said, I would sit him down and tell him, we know you want to play. We know you want to go. But because this is a marathon and it's not a sprint, we need you to actually kind of shed some minutes here and there. I got a feeling as we get into April and now we're starting to look at the schedule and we're starting to see, okay, you can actually see the playoffs are coming up here. We're only X amount of weeks away from the playoffs coming. I got a feeling that will change a little bit. And you asked Byron something that I think is incredibly important for this season alone. Home court doesn't mean anything. Home court does not have the you can win a championship without home court this year. I think Lakers can win a championship either way. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's going to be the most important thing, which I think they'll get opportunities as we get closer to the postseason to not sit LeBron, but be a little bit more strategic with him.
Yeah, the seeding thing is weird, right? Because no one really knows exactly what it's going to look like come, you know, May and June.
You're talking fans?
Yeah, but what we know for sure is the places aren't going to be filled, right? You're not going to have, you know, 20,000 people in these arenas.
No.
Maybe you'll have 5, maybe you'll have 7,500 or whatever it is. I don't think it matters, but I don't think the other part of it is, too, depending on who finishes where, you'd only rather have to play Utah or the Clippers. You don't want to have to play them both. And if you are if you're not in the top seed, you're going to have to probably play them both, right? Because if you're the 2 or the 3, you're going to have to play the 3 or the 2 to get to the 1.
Well,
that's the part of the seeding that I think is meaningful.
Well, this could happen too. Lakers could end up number 4 and still play Utah in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen. Lakers could play the Clippers in the second round. It won't hypothetically be in the Western Conference Finals. I agree with you. You're going to probably have to play both of those teams to get to the NBA Finals this year.
All right, so the Dodgers have a decision that is going to end up hurting one of their most prestigious players of all time's feelings. I'm going to tell you what that is coming up next. Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
So, Slee, how much of Cobra Kai have you seen?
I saw, I think, the first season. By the way, when does Morales sleep?
Yeah, never. Let's not get into that. That's a can of worms that we probably don't need to get into. But so you've watched the first season?
I saw the first season. Okay. How many seasons are they in right now?
They've completed three seasons, and a fourth season is pending.
I'm going to get back into it. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm doing Ozark right now.
You know what? I did that for a while. It's really good, but I checked out. I have
Why?
My attention. My attention span is terrible. I've got about three episodes in me of just about anything, and if it has to be otherworldly great.
Okay, what have you gone and watched the entire thing?
Well, I did watch Cobra Kai because I love Johnny Lawrence. And the question I had for you, and so if you've seen the first whole season, you can answer this question.
Okay.
Are there no, like, police in the valley in this fictional universe that they have? Because there are all these karate riots every weekend, and nobody gets in trouble.
Well,
you just beat up people every day and nothing happens?
Well, the karate kind of polices themselves. You know what I mean? Like, when you're at that level, you don't need the police. There is no reason for the police, and that's what Cobra Kai is.
Yeah, but one kid got a broken neck and ended up in the hospital. I feel like somebody needs to go to jail for
that. Like I said, Travis, the karate polices themselves.
Doesn't make a ton of sense. All right. So,
by the way, I love that you stopped on Ozark, but Cobra Kai, you're going seasons here.
Well, okay, you really want the answer? It's a very easy answer. You ready?
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what was coming in Ozark, so I was kind of like, eh, I can do without this. But I knew that Allie with an I was going to show up eventually in Karate Kid, and I had to see when that was going to happen. That's why.
Respect. Yeah. Respect.
She's important to me.
Of course. I get it.
All right. Clayton Kershaw has started every Dodger opening day, I believe, since 1963. He's been the guy that's taken
63
the ball.
Was his first one. Yep, that's right. I was there. I was covering that game.
You've been in a lot of stuff. You've got a well-worn press pass over these years for sure.
I was there, actually, when Al Bundy, the four touchdowns, Pokai, I was there as well.
Al Bundy? Pokai, All-City, four touchdowns in one game?
You were writing for the school newspaper at that point. I
freaking loved that character. How good was Al Bundy back in the days?
He was great. He was great. He's great. He's a great actor. So Kershaw may not get the opening day start. Dave Roberts has said he doesn't know. So the question is it Kershaw? Because why not? I mean, because, again, it's one of these things that's far more ceremonial than meaningful.
Absolutely it is, right.
But if we're just calling it like it is, he's not their best pitcher anymore. Mm-hmm. He's not their most lights-out guy. He's certainly their most famous guy, their most prestigious guy. But there are probably two more guys ahead of him when it just comes to, hey, I got to win tonight, that you're probably picking. So who do you go on opening day? Do you give it to Kershaw just because he's Clayton Kershaw, or do you give it to Walker Buehler?
Well, it's funny because you said this. You asked me this. I want to say in our first show, you said, all right, you need one game. You need one game. Who are you going with? And we both agreed, Buehler, right? And I think the opening day is so much different, of course, you know, obviously from a playoff game, whatever the case is. I'm okay if Walker Buehler gets the start. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with, hey, this is, you know, obviously somebody that the franchise depends on. He is the ace. He's the future. I'm okay with him getting the start. And to be honest with you, I don't know if Kershaw – you think Kershaw's going to care if he doesn't get the opening day start?
That's the question, though. That's it right there. First of all, I have never gotten any sort of
doesn't
vibe
seem like someone
from
he would
Clayton
care.
Kershaw that he's that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when they were kind of – I almost said something I shouldn't say. When they're kind of messing around with the idea last year about who was going to – maybe it was 2 years ago, like, hey, you know, walk – and Clayton Kershaw kind of said, you know what, I'd like to do it. I've been doing it. So maybe this is something that he feels – and I think that's the answer right there. If Dave Roberts knows that it's important to Clayton Kershaw – give it to Clayton Kershaw.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just a matter of we're going to set up a rotation because I want to go Buehler, Bauer, Kershaw, mm-hmm. Bueller, Bauer, Kershaw, boom, 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 then you do it that way. But if it's meaningful to Kershaw, then give it to him.
I actually don't think – so the way you just described it, Bauer getting the nod on the second day, that I'm not okay with. I would think Kershaw would get it on the second day, and that's – it's almost I almost feel like it would be disrespectful to have him go on the third day.
Unless there's a matchup issue. You could do it like that. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. Here's the other thing that the Dodgers need to do with mm-hmm. their rotation. They need to figure out who's 4 and 5 because regardless of order, Bueller, Kershaw, Bauer, they're going to be your 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. Slot them however you want. I would put them Bueller, Bauer, Kershaw. That would be my rotation. Who's the 4 and who's the 5? Because this is what we're looking at. You're looking at David Price, who has not pitched for them yet. He supposedly looks pretty good so far in spring training, but basically didn't play last year. He opted out because of the coronavirus. You've got – he's also – World Series champion and former Cy Young Award winner. Mm-hmm. He's a fantastic pitcher who's probably past his best days, but still pretty good. You've got Dustin May, who throws 101 miles an
hour. That's not bad. That's not bad.
You've got Tony Gonsolin, who made some big starts in the World Series for mm-hmm. them. And then, oh, by the way, you've got Julio Urias, who was the guy that shut the show down for the Dodgers last year, but he's mm-hmm. a starting pitcher ultimately. You got 4 guys for 2 spots. Who are you telling, oh, by the way, you got to go to the bullpen, or maybe even differently, you might go to the minor leagues?
Well, I tell you what, if that's the problem that you're having, I mean, just kind of think about that for a second. Everything that you, the way you set the whole thing up, Travis, it's as if you're saying, are you going to Ruth Chris, Mastro's, Fleming's? I mean, you're picking from the cream of the crop steakhouses. I'm just using that as an example. Mm-hmm. You can't go wrong. And mm-hmm. I think, you know, there is something about, I know from an individual perspective, it means a lot to each one of these guys. Of course it does. You want to be a part of that top 5 rotation. You want to start the season a part of the mix. They can't go wrong, Travis. I mean, I think Julio Urías being a part of the mix, I think that would be great. But if they don't go that route and Dave Roberts decides, no, you know what, I really want to make sure Tony Gonsolin's part of the mix or Dustin May, whatever the case is, I just don't think you can go wrong. Maybe what you're really playing is more of the politics side of it and making sure you're keeping everybody happy.
Yeah, there are no bad choices, but the fact of the matter is you're going to have to tell two of these guys, oh, by the way, you're not in the starting rotation. You're going to pitch out of the bullpen. And it can't be Urias. He of all of these guys, mm-hmm. he's the one guy that I think has earned that spot more than anybody else.
By the way, don't you think he'll be in the rotation?
I do. Yeah. I do. But this is somebody that was – a guy that was the next big thing, right? He was the next great Dodger left-hander, and then he got hurt. And then he came in, and he was wild. And then he came in, and he struggled a little bit. And then he kind of found it. And then he found this role in the bullpen last year, especially in the postseason, where he was basically unhittable. He mm-hmm. was just remarkable. So I think he's kind of earned his role into there. They've been waiting for him for a long time. I don't know if you can put David Price in the bullpen at this point in his career, right? I mean, you're paying him a lot of money, and I don't know if you're paying him that kind of money.
And he hasn't pitched yet.
Middle relief.
Sure.
He hasn't, but mm-hmm. he's got a resume that's pretty damn impressive.
And that's what I'm saying, Chad, as in it's not like he lost the spot, right? It's not like last season he wasn't coming through and you said, okay, well, this actually is going to come right down to there's another pitch. You got David Price. Like you mentioned, you're paying, even though Boston's paying half of that contract, I think he's part of that starting five too.
I do too. So now you're going to take Dustin May might have the best stuff, just stuff. I'm not saying he's the best pitcher mm-hmm. I've ever seen. I'm just saying as far as stuff goes, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like that. Mm. That guy throws 100 miles an hour, and he's throwing it like it's a wiffle ball. I don't know how, you know, that he goes to the minor leagues because he needs innings. He needs work. So do you send him to the minor leagues to work on innings, to work on a second pitch, to work on command? Do you put Tony? I mean, they've got two really talented guys that probably don't make the rotation.
Is it better for them? I mean, is it better to be in the minor leagues or be a part of the bullpen?
I think for May in particular, mm-hmm. I think he's got to start because that's where he's going to live and breathe mm-hmm. as a professional pitcher. Mm-hmm. He is going to be a starting pitcher. Tony Gonsolin could probably pitch out of the bullpen. He's got a little bit better command. He's got a little bit more polish. He's a little bit older than Dustin May. But May needs to pitch. He needs to pitch innings. So I would, if you can't get him in the rotation here, I'd put him in rotation in AAA.
It's a good problem to have, but it does sound like the five that you mentioned probably be the five. I mean, we've heard Dave Roberts, and nobody has announced anything yet. But it sounds like it would kind of lean towards some of the players that you were just mentioning.
Somebody just tweeted, at least Alan knows his steak restaurants. That's from GFish21. I know. I think people are a little worried about your In-N-Out cred, Slee.
I will go. I'm not at In-N-Out all the time. I mean, if you're there every time, Travis, you're the vet. That's your lane.
Oh, man. All right, one more here. This is from Ryan. It says, not sure if Slee is up to speed on all of our deals regarding Tiger.
Steakhouses we go.
But we need both of your thoughts on the crash. You know, we haven't really touched on that because it happened, I guess, 4 days now. But that really was surreal. That was one of those moments. And not to turn too dramatically, but, you know, what happened about a year ago with Kobe, you know, all of a sudden you hear an accident involving a high-profile guy, you start to think the worst. Thankfully, Tiger was okay. But that was just wild. It's the middle of the morning, nice day, no other cars, no skid marks on the road, just a very weird moment.
Yeah, and also, you know, obviously the coverage. So every network is panning in on the car, and you know, you're obviously starting to see some details. There aren't enough details to know how he's doing. Yeah, those are weird moments, and those are moments that obviously we remember. But then it makes you also reflect on other things that have happened, and you almost automatically think of the worst. You don't want to, right? But it happens. I think it's kind of a natural instinct. That was definitely a weird day, but it's. I think I just read something too. They're moving him over to Cedars-Sinai.
Yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that at all. Okay, I have a question for you with regards to that. With Tiger's accident yesterday, all you had to hear was Tiger, and you knew exactly what we were talking about. Is Tiger Woods the greatest one-name athlete of all time? That's coming up next. Travis and Slee with 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Not so much mad at you, Manuel, as I am disappointed. Did you ever get that one, Slee? I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
It's not what you said. It's what you didn't say.
there was no win for me in that. For me to go there would have been a little bit uncomfortable. I got a good tweet here before we go back to this. This is from Darbo. It says, Slee, number one, Tiger King. Number two, The Last Dance. Number three, Cobra Kai. Number four, two-part HBO series on Tiger. That's the vaccine during COVID. Get on it. Have you seen any or all of those?
The Tiger documentary, the two-part, I saw it. Did you see that, by the way?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. Name a couple more of those. What were the other ones?
So, in order, Tiger King. Did you see that?
Tiger King, I saw.
Last Dance, of
course. Last Dance, we all saw. Yep.
Yeah, Cobra Kai, you're behind on.
Yeah, I gotta get in that.
And you saw the Tiger Show, so you're good.
By the way, I went through I think I told you this. I went through this streak here, where let's see what I did in the past. Let's say 6 months. Sopranos, full start to finish. The Wire, start to finish.
Yep.
Boardwalk Empire, start to finish.
Never did that one.
And then now I'm doing Ozark.
Okay. All right. That's not bad.
These are hits. I mean, these are good ones.
Well, Sopranos and The Wire are just all-timers. That goes without saying. And then one more here before we get back to it. Slee hasn't earned the right for info on your burrito. Kid needs to put in more time. Burrito talk is earned, expected.
I get it. Okay, listen, I know. By the way, who's that dude that said earlier? He said something along the lines. He said, are you with Travis? He thinks a hot dog is an appetizer. What was he talking about there?
Well, I've said this before.
Okay. That
a hot dog is not really like a main course unless you're going to go big with like.
Well, what if you have two hot dogs? What if you have two hot dogs?
They're just hot dogs. They don't really count. So when you're, let's say you come over to my house,
what happens?
Let me set the scene. So you come in and I say, hey, Slee, it's good to see you here. Let me get you a beer.
And you said, hey, didn't I tell you to bring your own beer? And I'm like, I'm just curious to see what you have in your fridge.
I will say this. I'm a very good host. When you come to my house, when we're allowed to go, you know, see friends and family and stuff again,
we should do a show from your house.
You will have a good time. I promise. But I'll give you a beer or a glass of wine or whatever it is you'd like to have. Then we'll go into the backyard and we'll chit-chat a little bit, and I'll have some food on the grill. We'll be making the main thing, whatever that might be. Maybe we're doing steaks or maybe some salmon or whatever we got on the grill. But in the meantime, we're just going to throw a few hot dogs on there just to eat them as they come off, just a little appetizer. You tell me you're not into that?
Trav, that's next level. That's next level. It really is.
Right. If you can just have
two hot dogs as just like a warm-up, right? Just two hot dogs and then just brush it off like it's absolutely nothing as you're cooking the rest of the food.
Right.
That's next level. I don't want to know what's in your burrito.
Look, Clayton Kershaw just doesn't show up at the ballpark and walk out to the mound and start firing pitches.
He also doesn't eat two hot dogs before
he goes down
before
to the
he eats a meal.
And he gets loose and he, you know, runs a little bit and gets his left shoulder loosened up. And then by the time it's game time, he's ready to go.
That's next level.
Oh, one other thing on the Dodgers before we go to Tiger real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that stuff that Bauer and Noah Syndergaard were getting into on Twitter the other day?
Yeah, it was like a 16-year-old conversation between the two of them.
Yeah,
did they not look like two dudes that are seniors in high school going back and forth at each other?
What'd
you say? No. What'd you say?
It was stupid.
What are you
sure.
guys, children?
It was. I like Twitter. I like to read it. I'm not. I'm not like a Twitter roast guy. I just think it's funny. I like to follow people I like. I'm not into the whole back and forth thing too much. But Trevor Bauer is. Mm-hmm. Trevor Bauer.
Well, Syndergaard started it.
Syndergaard started it because Trevor Bauer is kind of universally looked at as a guy that not a lot of people in Major League Baseball are fond of. Mm-hmm. That's just his reputation. You know, fairly or unfairly, that's what it is.
Which is part of what makes him popular. And sure.
It's part of what makes him polarizing, I mm-hmm. think. But what's interesting to me about it was, is because, you know, just for the people who maybe haven't seen it, Noah Syndergaard, the very outstanding pitcher for the Mets, put up a picture of him and a couple of his teammates, a photograph of them all laughing uproariously. And then underneath it, he wrote something along the lines of, I'm not going to get this exactly right. And then he said he wasn't coming here, that he was going to the Dodgers, and then the picture of them all
he
laughing.
He said, I'm sorry I chose another team, but I'll donate. Or this is actually, that's taken the quote, nothing but smiles from spring training.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're thrilled he's not here, mm-hmm. is what the message was. And then Bauer took the bait, and then they had the 16-year-old back-and-forth thing.
Mm-hmm.
The question isn't, you know, who's the bigger, you know, high school freshman. My question is the Dodgers are a pretty buttoned-up group.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the guys that they have. Mookie is pretty buttoned up. Clayton Kershaw is buttoned up. Bellinger's buttoned up. Corey Seager's buttoned up. Dave Roberts is buttoned up. They've got a
tight run corporation.
Yes, they mm-hmm. do. They are a very, very
buttoned up
group of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Trevor Bauer is going to get into fights with people on Twitter. Does that start to make people go, dude? Come on, man. Do you try to stifle it? Do you just kind of close your eyes and pretend you don't see it? What do you do?
Okay, here's the reality. The reality is, it's entertaining. We're talking about it right now. You love that these two are going back and forth like children. I mean, I started off by saying, well, who started it? Syndergaard started it.
Right?
It's literally what you would say to two sixth graders. Do I think it's a big deal? Do I think it's a big issue? Probably not. But I also think that I'm sure there are plenty of people like all the names that you just had in that clubhouse saying, yes, can there be conversation and bickering going back and forth. Yeah, that could happen with you and other teams. But why don't you just focus and pay attention on what we're trying to do here? And would you be shocked if, you know, that's part of the conversation that some of these vets are having with all the players, including Trevor Bauer?
No, because Trevor Bauer's been around a while. He's not a new guy who needs to be shown the ropes. This is who he is. You know what I mean? Like, this is how he rolls. And I think
you
got
to also adjust to your environment.
I'm trying to find a word here, Slee, to use that I know what the word is. I just can't say it here. That guys that are like Trevor Bauer are going to be like Trevor Bauer for their entire life. They don't adjust to other people. They do their deals. And his deal is to be abrasive and to be confrontational. And right now, it won't matter a lot because he's new. You know, Clayton Kershaw said, he brings an interesting personality. And I all those code words, I mean, we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what it is. And right now, it doesn't matter. But when the next Twitter war happens in a month, and then the second one happens 2 weeks after that, and everybody runs to Mookie Betts or to Clayton Kershaw or to Dave Roberts and says, hey, did you see what Trevor Bauer put on Twitter? That's when it's kind of be that, did here we go again. That's the part that I worry about.
And I'm of kind of the mindset, I know Michael Thompson hates this when we talk about it, right? Usually you're kind of trained from a sports perspective, don't give another team bulletin board material, right? That kind of, why give them extra incentive? There's no purpose. Nothing good is going to come out of it. You got a lot of boring organizations out there. I'll use the San Antonio Spurs, the New England Patriots. But you know what they do? They get results. And I think, I'm not saying the Dodgers have to be that. Dodgers are going to be themselves, and that organization is obviously incredibly well run. If it affects anything that's going on the field, maybe that's one conversation. I don't know if it will. I mean, I have no, you know, we'll see how the season plays out. But I'm sure there's probably people within the organization that would prefer, can we just play baseball? Because that's how the organization has been.
You know what fixes it all?
Winning.
Yep. There you go. Mm-hmm. Go out there and pitch seven innings every time it's your turn to pitch. Go out, pitch seven innings, give up two or three runs. No one's going to care what you do on Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's real simple. That stuff only becomes a problem when you're not pitching really well, and he's a very, very good pitcher. So the answer to the question, is there a more famous one-named athlete than Tiger? Is Tiger the one name you say, go anywhere? And I'm not just talking about golf fans, sports fans, but if you walked up to, you know, some 85-year-old lady in the mall and said, hey, what do you think of Tiger? She'd know what you're talking about.
She'd probably be like, what the hell are you asking me? bigger than Tiger. Well, okay, these are the ones that come to mind, okay?
Okay.
Jordan. Ali.
Okay. Ali.
Kobe, of course. Magic,
no.
Of course.
No. Magic, no. If Kobe is in L.A. for sure, but I'm talking around the world.
I think you are vastly underestimating how big that word is.
No, I'm not saying it's not big. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be well
known. And how big the sport is. I mean, isn't the popularity of the fact that it's the Lakers, it's the NBA, it's an international, it's a worldwide sport. I mean, that carries a different type of weight too.
That's what made Tiger so different, is Tiger did not have a vehicle like the NBA.
He did
Tiger
not.
Tiger did not have a sport that was internationally popular like basketball is. That's why Tiger just cuts through on a level like so few others. I think you know, Jordan is certainly on there. Ali is certainly on there. Pele is probably on there. Even a guy like Messi, you know, if you say that, most people would know who that is.
Van Exel. Don't you laugh at Van Exel.
Poor Nick.
Don't you laugh at Van Exel. I mean, LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of funny when we simplify it. Serena. I mean, there are definitely some names out there that will instantly jump out.
Like, for instance, like Tom Brady is wildly famous. But if you said, hey, did you hear what happened to Tom? You'd be like, who? Or even if you said, you hear what happened to Brady, you'd be like, Tom Brady? Like, you'd need to clarify.
Sure.
There's no clarification with Tiger or LeBron or anything like that.
Yeah, that is that's a good way to put it. I never even really thought about that. Those are kind of the one Pele. Who else would be in it? Messi?
Messi for sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's so little. I've always had a little trouble with that one of the most famous athletes in the world, one of the best athletes in the world.
He's a beast.
He's like 5'0". And he's just running around out there like, hey, check me out.
Let me tell you something. It's soccer.
Look at this. I'm scoring goals.
It's soccer.
This is cool.
I love that. I love that. That's how his voice has to be.
In my head, it is. I've actually never heard the guy talk. I don't know what he sounds like. But in my head, it's like, hey, mom, look. I had a hat trick. What do you think of that? Look at this. Mom,
you do realize he's arguably the most popular athlete of the world.
Of course I do. I just, you know, it's not my cup of tea. I'm not disparaging the man. I just, you know, he's kind of little. And I just didn't picture him having a very high voice. Am I wrong?
I got nothing.
It just seems like
something that would
be going on like that. All right, let's do this, Lee. Let's go through Twitter one last time, see what the people have to say. We'll do that coming up next. Travis and Sliwa.
Oh, we got to do role players.
Birthday. That's right. We're going to wish happy birthday to Kurt Rambis as well. That's coming up next. Travis and Sliwa, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Whiff it, Morales. W-I-I-F-T. What's in it for Travis? And so this makes show number 3. Next Thursday will be 4. And Slee, 2 together next week. Thursday and Friday.
And we're going to actually have some, you know, during the All-Star break, we're going to have some consistent shows. And
yeah,
the great thing is they'll hear you at 5 a.m. in the morning tomorrow, and they'll hear me tomorrow for the pregame show. So it's not like we're going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't know if I get to do my my messy on the mornings. We'll see.
100% Fran, you should. It's for – don't do it for you. Do it for radio. I think there's something about it. By the way, did you know today is National Chili Day and National Clam Chowder Day?
Okay. I did know about chili. I didn't know clam chowder. So are we going New England clam chowder? Or are we doing the Manhattan one,
I think New England clam chowder is really the only one that one stands kind of at a level of its own.
I think you're right. I think that's the more popular
one.
There's
nothing to really think about.
Don't sleep on that red one, Slee. That tomato-based one,
that's
pretty good.
Got potatoes, clam in there as well.
Well, so does the other one.
Put it in the bread bowl.
Well, yeah, but so does the red one. It's got the same clams. It's got the same potatoes. It's just a little tomato blob.
I think that one came after. I think that was that one's almost like, you know, you're talking about Frasier getting another shot. that's what the red one is.
I don't know about that.
Are you doing a bowl of chili or are you doing a clam chowder?
Oh, no, chili over chowder. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. If given the choice, I'd choose
both. You mix
both.
The two together. I'm going chowder over chili.
What I'll never understand about the chili people,
mm-hmm.
and because, look, chili's fantastic, is why people care so much whether it has beans or not. They're both great. If you give me a bowl of chili and it has no beans, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat it all. If you give me a bowl of chili with beans, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to eat it all.
Every morning I have a bowl of chili before I leave the house. Every single morning I get a bowl of chili in.
Your messy sounds like Mr. Bill. That's from Francis. Look, I haven't done my messy in a while. I need to find it. Hey, mom, over here. Let's get the minivan. It's time to go home. We're done. 2 goals. I win. I think that's pretty good. I bet that's exactly what he sounds
like. When that voice comes out, I just want you to know, I got nothing. I'm going to let you do your thing. I'll be in the background if you need me.
You want to feel old, Slee?
What do you got?
Kurt Rambis turned 63 today. 63 years old today for Kurt Rambis, who, when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and, you know, growing up in Arcadia, and when the Lakers were winning all those championships in the 1980s, the Showtime Lakers, obviously Magic was everybody's favorite player. He's certainly my favorite player. Kareem is always a good answer for greatest player of all time. James Worthy, Hall of Famer. Byron Scott in that starting lineup. You had Michael Cooper, who would always come in. He was one of the finishers. But I absolutely loved Rambis. And when McHale nearly killed him with that clothesline, I wanted to drive to Boston and fight him. I was 13, but I wanted to go.
I was at that game.
Yeah, man, you get around. I like it. I like it.
I think
who is your Laker
role? I have a feeling
guy?
That's got to get annoying. That's going to get annoying very soon.
Not at all.
You know who my guy was growing up? My go-to. I freaking loved him. I think one of my first email passwords had his name, part of his name in it. I was an Eddie Jones guy.
Okay, yeah.
Loved Eddie Jones back in the days. I mean, it's funny. When I started watching Lakers basketball, it was just after, towards the end of Magic's career, okay? Mm-hmm. So it was the Vlade Divac days, the Eldon Campbell. Magic eventually retires. And I remember having this poster, The Next Generation. And it was like, it was as if Nick Van Exel, Cedric Sabalas, and Eddie Jones were all like in space and there's stars around them. And, you know, they're trying to promote this. Let's just say that one didn't work out. Let's just say that trio didn't exactly work out. But Eddie Jones was my guy. I loved Eddie Jones.
I want to say Eddie Jones made an all-star team, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did. He had a good career.
He did have a good career. He was a good player.
I mean, I think it was Kobe's rookie year where all these guys are all mixed together, right? Van Exel's still there. Del Harris is still coaching. Eddie Jones. That's an exciting team. Shaq was on. You know, Derek Fisher was just drafted.
Was Sed Sabalos still around at that point?
When did they trade Sabalos and Ori?
Yeah.
Because remember that happened after Ori threw the towel at Danny Ainge.
Danny Ainge, yeah, it didn't go great for him. Although it got him to the Lakers, that's probably a win.
I think he knew what he was doing. That was a great strategy.
Yeah, that was strategic for sure. So, no, he was a great player. I mean, this is, some of those role players were so much because –
Okay, but
know,
define role play. Define
well,
role player.
I think it's kind of a little bit subjective. But for me – It's somebody
like the red chowder would be a role player. The clam chowder would be like a superstar, right?
Yeah, well,
a vet
yeah,
that's been in the game for a long time.
Clam chowder is going to be on the starting lineup no matter what team he's on. The Manhattan chowder might have to wait.
But yeah.
So my definition would be somebody that didn't always start, might start occasionally, didn't make a bunch of all-star teams, but was essential to the success of the team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the guys that fits that perfectly is Michael Cooper.
Hmm.
Michael Cooper was rarely a starter for the Lakers, but you turn on any of those 30 for 30s about the Lakers and Celtics. You watch any highlights from the Showtime Lakers.
He was locking up people.
And he was on the floor mm-hmm. every time.
Mm-hmm.
He was on the court at the end of every big Laker game for about 10 years on a team that was loaded with Hall of Famers. That is the definition of a great role player.
Of course, you know, we had the D Fishes of the world. We had actually just, you know, looking at this Lakers team right now, KCP was a little bit of that last championship. Rondo obviously was some of that last championship. It'd be interesting, Trav. I will say this. You know, we got a chance to talk a little bit about the Lakers. I think it's a good thing what the Lakers are going through right now. I really do believe it. You got Portland coming up. You mm-hmm. still got Golden State, Phoenix, and then Sacramento, and then you'll get into the break. Travis, wouldn't you like to be going through some struggles, injury issues, health and safety protocols, all that stuff? Don't you want to go through all that right now? I think there's been an overreaction to the Lakers. I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being where I was during the finals and 10 being the world is ending and they're never going to win another game. I'm probably at a 2, give or take.
There's nothing to worry about. It's just too early.
I think that's mostly right. But
mm-hmm.
the other part is that, you know, talking about the role players, I'm looking at guys right now, that guys like Alex Caruso, guys like Kyle Kuzma, some of guys like that.
Sure, KCP.
That are really effective when those other guys are there are far less effective now. And mm-hmm. that's the part that I just keep looking at and thinking, all right, let's pick it up just a little bit, fellas. Slee, you and I will be back at
it
on Thursday. You're going to be on Laker Talk on Monday. We're going to be talking all Laker basketball. You're doing your thing, and then I'm doing my thing in the mornings. Until then, Slee, until Thursday, back-to-back shows
Sounds
next
good,
week.
Trav.
Travis and Slee with 710 ESPN.